Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, May 2nd, 2016. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll get an update on activities at the Zach Gordon Youth Center with Donnie Burrison, Jordan Nigro, and Rosie. Mary Lou Spartz and Mary Ann Vandecastle will spotlight Older Americans Month. Brandon Howard and M.K. McNaughton will preview their first Friday event, Paintings Inspired by Photographs, and we'll get details about Perseverance Theater's upcoming production, Annapurna. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 51 in Hoonah, 50 at the Juno Airport, and 50 in Gustavus.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. An indigenous advocacy group and a University of New Mexico student group demonstrated Friday on main campus in Albuquerque, calling on school administration to abolish the university's official seal. The Red Nation and Kiva Club members say the seal, which depicts a frontiersman and conquistador, is racist. The group say there's no representation of indigenous nations on the seal and say it celebrates genocide and enslavement of indigenous people. Kiva Club member Shai Antonio.
We're here to voice our concerns. We're here to heal and we're here to educate. How this seal hurts us. And our families say, go to school, and then when we graduate, you know, this is printed on our diplomas, this is on our gowns, and it's hurtful. It's like a slap in the face towards our ancestors, and we don't want that.
Demonstrators read a list of 11 demands in front of UNM President Robert Frank's office. Demands include the construction of a Native cultural center on campus and an increase in number of Native faculty. As far as the seal is concerned, President Frank says he does not find it racist.
No, I don't find it offensive, but maybe I'll be educated and change my views. At the end of the day, the Regents make a decision about changing the seal. So as this dialogue comes on, if it becomes a strong dialogue across the community, we would take it to the Regents and let them make the final decision. It's their decision.
Students say they've heard others echo Frank's statement and say that's why their movement to abolish racist imagery and end cultural appropriation on campus is important. Student Demetrius Johnson.
You don't learn about your own history in high school. You don't learn about it in any primary or secondary school. But when you come to UNM and you take Native American studies or you even like educate yourself with professors and they tell you the real history of Native students, you realize that all the things that you deal with at home, why grandma doesn't have electricity, why grandma has to haul woods, why she doesn't have running water, why she basically lives in a shack in the middle of nowhere, all these different types of things, you realize like why that is. And it's all because of not acknowledging our people, not acknowledging the treaties that the U.S. government signed, and this is all institutionalized. This is all the result of colonization and imperialism, and this institution is continuing to do that by not acknowledging indigenous people and by not respecting us, basically.
Frank says there are currently no plans to change the seal, but adds that officials are willing to listen to concerns. The Cheyenne River Youth Project in South Dakota is helping young people learn job skills through a two-year workforce initiative. An award from Northwest Area Foundation is adding in the expansion of internships for young people in Eagle Butte. The nonprofit operates a cafe, gift shop, and farmers market. The Youth Project will now be able to hire a full-time social enterprise manager and increase the number of youth who take part in sustainable agriculture. Plans also include the development of an e-commerce website. Miss Indian World 2016 was crowned Saturday night in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Representing the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. 25-year-old Danielle Tashina Finn from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in North Dakota says her platform is education, language preservation, and suicide prevention.
For me, it's personal because Standing Rock has had several state of emergencies declared because of suicide epidemics. And I remember going to school and it was happening. It was just a huge problem. And so I grew up knowing that that was something I wanted to stop.
The law school student will serve as a goodwill ambassador for the year representing indigenous people. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. If you or a loved one suffer from alcohol addiction, hear how recovery is possible from those who've had their day one at nativenews.net. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're tuned into a Juneau afternoon here on Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. And joining me now in the studio from Zach Gordon Youth Center is Jordan Nigro, who's the manager director over there. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you, Scott.
And Donnie Burris, who's the youth development coordinator. Welcome to the show, Donnie.
Thank you.
Nice to have you both here. Just in case people don't know, Jordan, will you give us that Gordon Youth Center 101 really quick?
Well, Zach Gordon Youth Center is your local drop-in center for kids of all ages. You can be there on your own as of 9 years old and up until 6 o'clock. And then after 6, we change to a teen center, so you have to be 14 or older to be there. And we're open until 9 or 10, depending on the night, Fridays and Saturdays, 10. We have lots of fun stuff to do. We have pool tables, we have foosball tables, we have basketball, we have, movie nights. We have lots of good eats all the time. We have a climbing wall. We have gardens that are getting going now that it's spring. So
did you say basketball court already?
Yes.
That looks like fun.
Yeah, we have a great covered basketball court, so indoor and outdoor, but the outdoor this time of year is really quite popular.
Okay, so folks can go hang out there, youngsters can hang out, but you also have other activities, and sometimes you leave the center and go
we
do
sure
other
did.
Stuff.
One like, of the things we do is camps in the summer, so Donnie is the one that heads all of the camps up, so she's going to talk a bit about what we have left. We have a few camps that have spaces left.
Hi, Juno. We have a few spaces left in our summer camps. We have space in our spectacular Sandcastles camp, and that is from all of our camps are from ages 8 to 12. And in our spectacular Sandcastles camp, which is June 20th through 24th, we go out to Sandy Beach and Eagle Beach, and we explore the beaches and make sandcastles. We do different challenges. We do one tier, two tier. We dig trenches. We dig holes. We try to reach the center of the earth. Of course, we cover them up when we leave so that there aren't any accidents. But we have a great time doing sandcastle building, and we use a lot of things that's left on the beach, logs, and kids can be really creative. I've seen some really amazing sandcastles in that camp. We also have space in our Explore the Tongass camp. That's June 27th through July 1st. That's also ages 8 to 12. And in our Explore the Tongass camp, we'll be doing some hiking around Juneau. We'll do some swimming. We'll dedicate a day to fishing. We'll do some tide pooling. And we just really get out there and explore Juneau. It's a great camp for active kids. And then lastly, our last camp we still have space in is our Awesome Arts. That's another cool camp. It's also 8 to 12, and that one is July 18th through 22nd. And in that camp, we go out downtown, and we always start off with an art scavenger hunt. So we check out local art around town and get inspired for the week of art. And then we go on location to different places, such as the different beaches, different we try to go up to Treadwell, we do a couple hikes, and then we just paint the scenery. We just bring all of our art supplies, load them in the van, and we go out and we get creative. And then we also do a food art day, and that's where we use food to make our art, which is awesome, especially when we use a lot of candy. Bring those toothbrushes. And those are the only three that we have space left. And if anyone is interested in those camps, they can register down at Zach Gordon Youth Center. They can also call in. It is first come, first serve. And we are open from 11 to 9, so they can come in throughout the week to register for those camps and get all signed up.
So these must be very popular. I noticed all summer you're doing 10 camps,
yes.
It looks like, in total, and there's only a few spots left in three of these.
Yes.
So folks,
it's a very popular, fun 10 weeks. We have a great time. And these are our last couple of openings, and it's about 8 all together in all three of those. So they want to get in and get registered before they're all gone.
And what are the hours of the camps?
So the camps are from 1 to 4:30, Monday through Friday, each of those. And also, they're very reasonable at $95 a week, which is one of the cheapest, if not the cheapest, in town for the summer, and you get a lot of bang for your buck. So we're just excited about the summer coming, and we can't wait to entertain those kids.
Great. Donnie, remind us once more where people can find more information.
They can find information on the web at parksandrec.com/youth center, or they can come right down to Zach Gordon Youth Center, and we're in the same parking lot as Bullwinkle's and Centennial Hall downtown.
All right. So beyond summer camps, what else is going on, Jordan?
Oh, let's see. Well, we were talking about this as we were getting ready to come over, because we have all sorts of things happening. We do have a, in partnership with the Juneau Public Libraries, next Monday, May 16th, not next Monday, the Monday after, 2 Mondays from now, May 16th, we have a Bring Your Kids and Join Us for Dinner, Story Time, and Crafts with the Juneau Public Library. So in the back, in the Young Parent Healthy Teen Center, if you have little munchkins, you should bring them for story time. It's at 5:15 to 6:15, and we'll have some good eats and some stories and some crafts, and that should be a fun night. So we're looking forward to that. And we also have coming up, and this is a partnership project between the Juneau Violence Prevention Coalition, AWARE, United Way, and Zach Gordon Youth Center, and I'm sure there will probably be somebody else coming on to talk about this, but just to kind of help get the word out. We have a big conference coming on next Friday, May 13th, Friday the 13th, and the one-day conference for teens called Be the Change, and we're pretty excited about it. It's a whole day around social justice and working on issues around sexism and racism, and so it's put on by kids, for kids, and we're just part of the support network to make it happen, but we're very excited to be a part of it. There will be a free lunch, and if you are listening and have teens, because probably most teens are in school and not hearing this, but if you're the parent of a high schooler, the schools do have the information on this. It's from 9:30 to 3:30, and we are providing transportation from Thunder Mountain. So
where will it be again?
It will be at the Jack. Sorry, okay. I don't think I said that. So, yeah, it should be a fun day. We'll have some breakout sessions at Zach Gordon, but for the most part, like registration, everything will take place there.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, and you also mentioned something about a barbecue.
Oh, right. Yeah, so we have a couple of different barbecues going on, one of which is the BAM. So I've been on here before talking about our BAM after-school program, which really relies on volunteers and partner organizations to come in and teach classes after school to kids in both our middle schools. So we're doing a BAMBQ, we're calling it. Isn't that get that? Yeah, cute, right? So the BAMBQ is on May 12th at Zach Gordon Youth Center, and it's for all our folks who've helped make BAM possible this year, and so we're excited to do that. And then the other thing we have going on, I'm going to turn it over to Donnie so she can talk a bit about the other
celebration we're having. This month in May 22nd, to be exact, is Zach Gordon Day, which we are very excited about to celebrate. It falls on a Sunday this year, so we thought it'd be a good idea to, instead of celebrating on just that day, to do a Zach Gordon celebration week, because we are, for one, very grateful that Zach Gordon had it in his heart to start a youth center, a teen center, and that it's still here all these years later. So we're going to celebrate him all week. So all week we'll have fun facts about Zach Gordon around the center, and then we're going to kick off, we're going to end the celebration week with a barbecue, and I think that is the 27th.
Which is also the last day of school.
So we're going to have a big celebration, and we're just going to have his favorites, which some of the old-time Juno kids that he used to that used to visit Zach Gordon, he was known for his hamburgers and fudge. And so we're going to prepare hamburgers and fudge in true Zach Gordon fashion. And we're just going to celebrate who he was. And we're going to celebrate that we are fortunate enough to live in a town that has a youth center that really caters to the youth. So we're really excited about that.
Okay. It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Sort of question for both of you, thinking of, you know, kids probably are in school right now and teens are in school. But if there's parents out there listening and their teens have never been to the Zach Gordon Youth Center or, you know, gone on a camp or ever come down to hang out, what would be your message to them to convince their kids to come down?
Well, what do you think, Donnie?
What's the environment
like?
Well,
if you were a cool parent, wink, wink, that's reason enough to bring your kids down. We have so much fun, and there's so many good things happening at Zach Gordon. And in our town, you know, there are some things to do when it's wet, but they're probably not as cool as what we're doing. We have so much fun down there. We're always doing arts and crafts. We have a brand new spanking commercial kitchen that's beautiful. We're always cooking and baking with fresh ingredients, cookies from scratch, cupcakes from scratch, icing from scratch. We have so much fun. We have a fire pit, basketball, ping pong, foosball. I mean, it's an awesome place. So all those reasons is why you should
Am I too old? Can I come down? And
You can come down and volunteer.
We welcome volunteers.
You could also bring some of your much younger, shorter friends.
Okay.
Which I bet you have, you know. So,
and then lastly, the almost the best part is we really have cool staff that really enjoys being around kids and just having a good time. And so it's just a great place to come and visit.
It is. It is. Yep.
Sounds like it. Give us the contact info once more for the summer camps, thinking about story time, the conference, BAM barbecue.
Well, our phone number is 586-2635, and the address for Zach Gordon Youth Center is 396 Whittier Street. And another thing I would urge, if you're listening and you want to kind of keep up on what's going on, we use our Facebook page a lot to post what we're up to and when we're having different activities. So if you're wondering, what might be a good day to bring my kids down there? What's going on? We post what we're up to. So follow us on Facebook, Zach Gordon Youth Center. It's a great way to keep up with all the fun comings and goings. And we will be posting Zach Gordon trivia on Facebook next week, too, just in case you don't make it to the center to learn any of it. But, you know, he is a great part of Juno's history. So
great. Donnie Burris, Jordan Negro, thanks for coming on the show. Anything else? Anything we're missing?
I don't think so.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Scott.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 2nd of May, 2016. It was on this date, 1536, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of King Henry VIII, was arrested for high treason, adultery, and incest. She was intelligent, outspoken. She'd been raised in France. She had educated opinions about politics and religious reform. She came to the court when she was 20 years old to serve as lady-in-waiting. She soon caught the eye of the king, and for 7 years he courted her, and for 7 years she put him off. He managed to get his first marriage to Catherine of Aragon annulled by breaking with the Pope, declaring himself head of the Church of England. And then Anne Boleyn consented to Marion. Their early months of marriage were happy ones. Their first child, a girl born in 1533, Elizabeth Anne, had several miscarriages after that, and she never gave Henry the son that he so desperately wanted. So he accused her of every capital offense he could think of, affairs and incest with her brother and plotting his murder and witchcraft, and she was convicted and sentenced to death, beheaded by sword. In her last letter to Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn wrote, "Your Grace's displeasure and my imprisonment are things so strange to me that what to write I am altogether ignorant. Never a prince had a wife more loyal in all duty and in all true affection than you have ever found in Anne Boleyn. But if you have already determined of me, and that not only my death but an infamous slander, then I desire of God that he will pardon your great sin herein, and likewise my enemies, and that he will not call you to account for your unprincely and cruel usage of me at his general judgment seat, where both you and myself must shortly appear." It's the birthday of Dr. Benjamin Spock, born in New Haven, 1903, author of the Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, which came out in 1946, which began, "You know more than you think you do." It was the parenting Bible for the post-war moms and dads raising the baby boomer generation. It's the birthday of Jerome K. Jerome, born in Walsall, England, 1859. It was he who said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry, "The Lilies." Hunting them, a man must sweat, bear the whine of a mosquito in his ear, grow thirsty, tired, despair, perhaps, of ever finding them, walk a long way. He must give himself over to chance, for they live beyond prediction. He must give himself over to patience, for they live beyond will. He must be led along the hill as by a prayer. If he finds them anywhere, he will find a few paired on their stalks, at ease in the air, as souls in bliss. I found them here at first, without hunting, by grace, as all beauties are first found. I have hunted and not found them here. Found, unfound, they breathe their light into the mind, year after year. "The Lilies," a poem by Wendell Berry, from his new collected poems, published by Counterpoint and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by LegalZoom, supporting small businesses with formations, corporate filings, and independent contract and tax advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Scott Burton, your host, and it is about 24 minutes past the hour. Joining me in the studio now are two members of the Juneau Commission on Aging. Mary Lou Spartz is a longtime member. Welcome to the show, Mary Lou.
Thank you, Scott.
Nice to have you here. And the chair and member is Mary Ann Vandecastle. Welcome to the show, Mary Ann.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah. So May is Older Americans Month, is
yes.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Marianne, you want to start off with telling us a little bit about what the Juno Commission on Aging is about?
We are one of the many commissions, committees, and so forth that the City and Borough of Juno sponsors. We're a group of volunteers. There are seven of us. And we meet once a month. And our only real task is to provide advice to the Assembly. We're not authorized to go off and do our own thing or, we have no budget, no office, and no staff, we like to say. It's just
no private
us.
Jet.
Just
no
us and our jet, energy, yeah. Right. But at any rate, we meet once a month. We meet on the second Thursday of the month at the Juno Senior Center at 12th and Egan in the afternoons from 1:15 to 3:15. So we usually have a speaker. We always have time allotted for public comment. So if somebody has a senior issue that they'd like to come and let us know about or comment on, they're always welcome to do that.
Okay. Mary Lou Spartz, why did you become part of the Juno Commission on Aging?
Well, I got older, and I discovered, I kind of like the phrase the French use, the third age. I discovered that there were things that were happening to me and to others that in my age group. That were sometimes puzzling, sometimes difficult, and sometimes just downright ridiculous. So I thought this might be a good place to be, to air my opinions and to listen to what other members had to say and other citizens had to say, many of them on the same topic.
And it must be working.
Well, sometimes it works. Slowly, but we've had the opportunity to have a little, just a little input into what happens next. And with today's absolutely galloping population of older Americans, and especially in Juneau, a population of older folks, 65 plus, It's been very interesting to see what's going on or what isn't going on.
Yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit about that in case people aren't aware. There are about 6,000 people in Juneau right now age 60 and older, and the feds use age 60. A lot of people use age 65, but we'll go with 60. And that's about 18% of the population, and it's heading up to about 25% of the population by 2032. So that's going to be one in four residents age 60 and older. That's a substantial shift in our demographics. And it has to do, of course, with the baby boom and the fact that so many baby boomers and the previous generation to them, I'm not sure what the name of that generation is, those born in the 30s and early 40s, also came up here during the pipeline era. So they came, they got good jobs, and they stayed. They also want to stay in their elder years. They don't want to go back where they came from. So that means Alaska has, relatively speaking, the fastest-growing senior population in the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. As part of Older Americans Month, you mentioned, Marianne, some great events or days or things that we can focus on to help us celebrate the month. Can
well,
you tell us about some of those?
Well, it's actually Older Americans Month is a federally decreed time of year. It's always in the month of May. And there's a federal agency called the Administration for Community Living. That is the federal agency now that's responsible for issues to do with seniors. So they're responsible for picking a theme, and this year's theme is Blaze a Trail. I'm not sure what that means, but they have posted a lot of stuff on their website. They are focusing on wellness, so they have some information called Blaze a Trail to Wellness. They're focusing on finances, so they have some information on that. They're focusing on civic engagement, or in other words, get involved in your community for seniors, and also on what they're calling reinvention, which means to them using your passions and your skills now that you're retired, find another way to use those things that you really care about. So they have some really neat tip sheets on their website, and to find this information, you can go to oam.acl.gov. /2016/tipsheets.html. So if you're interested in more information about the national celebration, here in Juneau, we're just basically doing some radio spots to let people know how important seniors are to our community, just trying to highlight the fact that seniors make so many contributions to Juneau. Financially, we figure seniors spend about $100 million a year here or more. When you talk about look local first or buy local, seniors do that big time, and they want to do that. They want to shop here. So it's something for local businesses to be aware of. Seniors are also very much patrons of the arts. If you go to any arts events, you'll notice that at least half the audience appears to be seniors. And they are active in many, many organizations as leaders, mentors, and above all, volunteers. Seniors volunteer a little bit less than other age groups, but for much, much more time on average if they do volunteer. So seniors are an asset. They're a resource for the community. And for that reason, we just want to highlight seniors this month and ask people to celebrate a local senior.
Okay. Mary Lou, if mm-hmm. somebody wanted to celebrate you, how would you have them do that? How can we honor you as a senior best?
Well, just say hello. That's a place to start. And I'm very comfortable in this community, and I do find that I have, I go places and people speak to me and say, you know, I go into a store and I'm talking to a clerk, and the clerk will say, "Hi, Mary Lou," you know, and I really don't know this person that well, but so it's very it's a nice place to live when that happens, and I appreciate that, and I often get asked if. You know, if I'm standing in front of a very heavy door, somebody will say, "Can I help you open the door?" Which is a big thing for me, because there are doors I cannot open. It's really silly, but I kind of, you know, run up against it, and there, the door just stands there. It doesn't move an inch. So I do need a little help now and then.
Okay. And Marianne, you mentioned one thing a person can do is spend some time, go on a date.
Sure. Take a senior to lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and ask them to tell you a story about the history of Juneau. Somebody like Mary Lou, who grew up here, can tell you many stories about Juneau. Other seniors can tell you family stories or cultural stories. But really, it's, again, they are a resource for everyone in the community. So take them to lunch, have them over for dinner, play a board game, find out more about them. Another thing to do with a senior is to learn a traditional skill. Most of our seniors are very good at some traditional activity, whether it be cooking, knit and crochet, beadwork, building things, fixing things. Almost all seniors grew up in a time where they learned how to do things. And younger folks oftentimes missed out on that opportunity, but a senior would be the right person to ask to show you how to do some of those things you might have been wanting to do.
And if somebody wanted to meet both of you in person, they could do that next Thursday. I believe that would be the
right.
Second Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the Senior Center
yes.
on 12th and Egan
yep.
from 1:15 to 3:15. Seems like that might be a great place to get started.
Absolutely. Come and join us and tell us what's on your mind, and we'll go from there.
All right. Mary Lou Spartz and Mary Ann Bandicastle, thanks for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think we're good.
I think
we're... Come join us at our meeting.
Yes, Scott, you're certainly welcome. We don't discriminate against people that are under 60.
Okay. Thanks, you too.
All right, thanks a lot.
Go ask that old cowboy. He'll tell you what's true. He remembers this country. Highway came through. He remembers this road as a long dusty trail. Go ask that old cowboy, he'll tell you no tale. And the years float like whiskey, he don't drink it no more. Go ask that old cowboy as he walks out the door. Go ask that old cowboy, he'll tell you no lies. He remembers the friends that slip right on by, about a wreck on a highway, how they drank and they died. Go ask that old cowboy with a tear in his eye. And the years flow like whiskey, he don't drink it no more. Go ask that old cowboy as he walks out the door. Go ask that old cowboy about the horses that bucked, that broke all his bones and busted his luck. About the wild ones that threw him, stomped holes in the ground. Go ask that old cowboy. And the years flow like whiskey, you don't drink it no more. Go ask that old cowboy as he walks out the door.
Support for this station comes from the Treadwell Ice Arena, located at 105 Savico Road in Douglas. Treadwell Ice Arena is open 7 days a week, offering drop-in open skating, hockey, and a variety of special events. We are the proud home of the Crimson Bears hockey team, youth, adult, hockey, and figure skating programs. More information at juno.org/parksrec/ice rink or call 586-0410.
Oh, the streets of Rome are filled with rubble.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on May 2nd, 2016. It is 23 minutes until the top of the hour. Scott Burton, your host. And joining me in the studio now is Brandon Hauser and M.K. McNaughton. They're working on a collaboration for this first Friday. And M.K., is it called Paintings Inspired by Photographs, or what's the name of the show?
We struggled with that. We decided to just call it a collaboration, and light inspired by light, land, and water.
Okay. And let's see, Brandon, you are a photographer. Tell us a little bit about how this all began.
It was about 2.5 years ago. I got to visit MK's studio for the first time, and my wife, Elizabeth, and I were picking out a painting that was given to us as a housewarming gift. So we got to pick out a beautiful painting, which hangs on our house right now, on the inside of the house. And that's when I noticed that she was painting with a photograph as inspiration, so I kind of thought it'd be a lot of fun to be a part of a project like that.
Okay. And about how many pieces will there be? So this Friday's first Friday, right? And this will be at Sketch Studio, which is over there by Kenny's, across from the parking garage.
It is 122 Front Street. Is the address.
Behind the sign that before...
Before I Die, yeah. Right on the corner of Front and Main, which I think sounds kind of grand. That helps people remember. Front and Main. Cornered back. And I have an enormous sign that says Sketch with an arrow now that points to the door.
Cool,
so if you're in that area, you'll see the sign.
And I'm sorry, how many pieces did you work on?
I made 9 little paintings and 1 larger painting. So I have 10 new pieces of work inspired by Brandon's photographs.
Excellent.
And he has, how many do you have?
I have 12 photographs. They're kind of mixed from superimposed photos and shots where I purposefully kind of move the tripod to create image blur. And then the other half are most of them are the pictures that MK painted from.
Okay. What was the best part about this collaboration for you, MK? I know you've painted from photographs before, but what's something that you've admired about Brandon's work?
Well, as I learn to be a painter, and I often do work from photos, sometimes I'm really drawn to a photographer's work, and then I realize that the photos are just so beautiful. I don't know how to paint them. You know, I don't know what to do. And I felt that a little bit, actually, with Brandon's. I was really inspired, and then I thought, oh, how am I going to do this? He does a lot of night photography and a lot of really dramatic. He gets out all around the world. The stories are great that go with his photos. So they're super dramatic, and so that was the gift to me because it pushed me to try to create some different art. And I consider the work that I did little studies and kind of like trying to grow as an artist and move new directions. So they're using a different color scheme and more dramatic, striking colors and contrasts than I usually do. So it was a great challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. What's been the best part of this collaboration for you, Brandon?
Well, it was really interesting sharing so many of my photographs from different times in my life and then seeing which ones MK picked out from a relatively large collection. So that was a lot of fun. And then also going out in terms of the superimposed images and not looking for a very dramatic photograph necessarily, but pieces of a puzzle, single images that I had in mind were going to go together later on. So those were the two main. I think for me, I got started to lose inspiration in my own photography and just hanging a photo on the wall. So it was really fun to look back on some older photos, but also create new ones with a different idea.
Very cool. And to see this in person, this collaboration, come by. You're probably hanging the show all week, and it will be up Friday.
Yeah, we're going to hang it on Thursday night, so it'll be up Friday night, sort of a one-night special event, 4:30 to 7:30.
Excellent.
First Friday, we'll have snacks.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And sketch if our listeners haven't been there. Nice studio. I love the atmosphere in there.
Thank you.
Nice natural light and very cool place. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Come by 4:30 this first Friday. Brandon, what's next for you after this?
I'm not sure.
All right. How about you, MK?
I have a couple of spaces in my next set of classes that start next week. I have like one spot in the adult oil painting and two spots in the kids mixed media. It's on my website, which is mkmacnaughton.com, if anyone wants to check that out. And I also have artwork at the Rookery this month. I hung it last night, so it's up. And I'm going to have two pieces here at KTOO, part of the Broadsides, collaborated with some poets.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that as well. All right. Brandon Hauser, MK McNaughton, thank you for coming in. Check out their collaboration this Friday at Sketch Studio from 4:30 to 7:30 as part of First Friday. We'll see you there.
Great. Thanks. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Got a hook.
Broadcast support for KTOO comes from the Alaskan Brewing Company, seeking both seasonal and full-time customer service representatives until May 5th. Application information at alaskanbeer.com.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 13 minutes until the top of the hour. And I've been joined by people from Perseverance Theater. Art Roach, he's the director, also the ED over there across the water. Welcome to the show, Art.
Thanks, Scott.
Nice to have you here. And one of the stars of Annapurna, Kevin T. Bennett, who plays Ulysses. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you.
Nice to have you guys here. Art, we can probably start with you. Tell us how you chose to play this production this year.
Oh, gosh. Well, we have a group of people, actors, audience members, staff members, board members, too, who read plays every year. And we sort of put different lineups together. And this play came out of that process. And the things that we liked about it were it was about something. It was it had a really beautiful way to stage it in our theater. It fit the theater really well. And we had actors that we thought could play it beautifully, particularly Kevin, who's here with us, so it just fit a lot of the boxes, you know, easy, good one to produce for us, good fit for our actors, and a nice story that fit with the rest of the season well.
All right, speaking of the story, Kevin, can you give us a quick plot synopsis?
Sure. Well, there's this fella by the name of Ulysses, who has had a remarkably checkered past. His health is failing. And it looks grim for him. And in through the door walks his estranged wife of 20 years.
As Rebecca George?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As Emma. And over the course of the play, we have an opportunity to explore the core of our humanity and humor and the remnants of love and rationale and substance abuse and all kinds of things. And in any case, the story unfolds in these two characters over the course of about an hour and 40 minutes until we reach the conclusion, you know, and it's a bit shocking. But there isn't anything more profound than what these two people go through. It's like a symphony of missed opportunities for human beings.
Symphony of lost opportunities, yeah, for humans.
It's great. That's a great image. Yeah.
I'll write that down. Yeah. Yeah. Use it later.
Really a lovely, lyrical, yeah, and humorous and gritty script. It's a wonderful story.
Art, what's the setting like?
Well, Ulysses is really past the end of his rope, I would say. As Kevin said, to say he's at the end of his rope is kind of an insult to people who actually have something they could pull themselves up with. So he's living, you know, on nickels and dimes in a low-rent trailer park in the western slope of the Colorado Rockies, Paonia. And it's pretty run down, and he's recently gotten out of the hospital. So he's trying to recover sort of at home with as little cash as he has to get by with. And the state of the trailer kind of reflects the state of his health and his.
All right. Is this the first time you've played Ulysses, Kevin?
Well, it's not exactly. We did the show. We opened this particular production in Anchorage. We rehearsed it last fall for a couple of weeks here in Juneau, and then took the show to Anchorage and played at the PAC for a couple of weeks. We had a nice turnout and a good response there. And we've been off for about 6 months. We just came back down to Juneau a week ago, and put it back on its feet, and it's every bit as good, maybe even better now than it was then.
There's something wonderful about it in the smaller space. We had a preview last night, and people were really, really, it was gripping.
Yeah. So, you know, Kevin, you've gotten to sort of swim in Char White's words for a long time now in this character of Ulysses.
Sure.
What have been some of the takeaways for you? What have you learned from her writing or being in this play?
Well, it's a hymn, believe it or not.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, that's perfectly all right. He's been mistaken for a lot of things, so he's kind of used to it. It's kind of a strange name, Char White. Wonderful fella. I had an opportunity to converse with him and talk to him about his play. You know, there's a concept kind of inside the play, and there's a lot of metaphor in there. The Homeric story of the Odyssey is kind of a metaphor for what's going on there, and Ulysses' journey is a very psychological and, you know, time spent and invested type of a journey coming home. And where is home? Home is where the heart is. Well, that's kind of what happens over the course of the play. But the play is written in a very true form. You know, it's very lyrical. There are sentiments shared between these two characters that are just so truthful that it's impossible not to relate to. He has a way with words. You know, we discussed about how he wrote the play and how the words are almost musical. They're orchestrated in such a way that, you know, they're like movements, individual movements of a fine piece of classical music. It's really, really quite a nice show.
Looking forward to it. Art, can you give us some of the details on dates and such?
Sure. We have two more pay-as-you-can previews, Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and then we open Friday and run through May 29th. So four more weekends. And the tickets are at the usual outlets, bookstores, Jack, 463-TIXS, and ptalaska.org.
All right, looking forward to seeing this for sure. What's next on the theater's radar?
Yeah, well, this is the conclusion of the current season, but the next season's been announced, and subscriptions are on sale now. And if you order before the end of this month, you get the best pricing. So we call that the early bird order. A few highlights: we're opening with Peter and the Starcatcher, which is the backstory of Peter Pan based on the children's book. So if you wonder how Peter is the one orphan that has a name, or how Captain Hook lost his hand, or most importantly, how Neverland became kind of a magic place where time stands still, this play tells that story. It's really, really a wonderful piece. We're doing To Kill a Mockingbird towards the end of the season. Just really looking forward to that big, great American classic. And closing with a comedy next year this time, Steel Magnolias, which the movie is based on. And in between all that, there's three other contemporary plays. Frank Katas, a local playwright, has a play called They Don't Talk Back, fantastic story about four different Tlingit men, and what happens in their family is they kind of come together under difficult circumstances, and a play called Not Medea, which is it's probably the best way to describe it is it's not the Medea myth. It's a contemporary story about a modern mother who's got some things in her life that parallel Medea. So if you like your Greek mythology, you can access that through the play, but you don't need to know it at all to get the story. And then I'm really excited about Jeannie Sakata's play, Hold These Truths, which is the story of Gordon Hirabayashi, who was a Japanese-American man who lived in Seattle in World War II. And when he was ordered to report to internment, he refused the order and fought all the way to the Supreme Court. Lost in 1943, it went back to the Supreme Court in the 80s and had the precedent overturned after some evidence was declassified much, much later. So he's a very significant civil rights figure, and his story is really, really gripping. Wonderful man. So we have that as well.
Wow, sounds like a great, diverse, interesting lineup.
Something for everybody, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And, of course, if people want more information, where should they go?
For subscriptions, ptalaska.org, or give us a call at 463-TIXS.
Well, looking forward to seeing this play for sure, guys. This sounds awesome.
You know, I should mention that this play is also quite funny. It's so funny. I thought several audience members last night were going to wet themselves. They just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And that's throughout. So
a lot of, I think, sometimes really good plays that dwell in things deep use the comedy to help.
It takes you by surprise that way, right? I think. It's wonderful. Yeah.
All right. You guys, thanks for coming in. We've been speaking with Kevin T. Bennett. He's playing Ulysses in Annapurna. And also Art Roach is directing, and also the ED over at Perseverance Theater. Art, give us the next opportunity to see the play once more.
So tomorrow and Thursday are pay-as-you-can previews, opening Friday the 6th.
And that's at 7 or 7:30?
7:30.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to A Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, Beth Weigel will be here with an update on library activities. Florian Tanznia, an exchange student from Germany, will be here to highlight a Rotary fundraiser. We'll talk with Warren Moon, Wednesday's Pillars of America speaker. JDHS Drama presents June B. Jones, the musical, with guest Michael Moore. We'll hear about that. And, you know, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More, live at 3 on KTO News. And online via KTOO. Forecasts for tonight, rain becoming scattered showers in the evening, lows around 42.